She celebrated a year 6 days ago, and during that year I've had the privilege and the opportunity to watch her grow. She is perhaps to a fault involved in service. She is dedicated to this fellowship, and she does a lot of really good things behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see. From someone who's so young in the fellowship, it's inspiring to me. So please welcome Sherry.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Sherry, and I am an alcoholic. Thank you, Bill, very much for that. It's greatly appreciated. I'm going to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. My life became immediately insane at the age of 5 years old. My three-year-old sister was killed. She was run over in our cul-de-sac, and I recall taking the mail in to my mother, and the mail person was the one who actually ran over my sister, and him bringing her to the house. That's how I remember it. I've been told that I was actually outside when it occurred and that I witnessed it. And my only thought that I can come up with is that my brain decided it was going to protect me against that. And so I have a different recollection of that. Of course, my parents were devastated, and they had to make arrangements for my sister, and I stayed with friends of the family. And so I was very scared and very frightened, and I had the sense of abandonment. And as an adult, I can look back, and I know that my parents had to do what they had to do. As a child, I blamed myself for my sister's death, and felt that I had done something really bad. And approximately 2 years later, my parents separated. We lived in Washington State at the time, and we moved, my mom, my youngest sister, and I moved down to Pixley, of all places. And we were there for a short time, and then we moved to Bakersfield. And I spent quite a bit of time there, and at the age of 14, I moved up to Sacramento with my dad, and I lived with my dad for 3 years. At the age of 14, I got drunk for the first time that I recall. Now, I know some of you were here last week when my dad shared, and he shared the fact that I actually got drunk for the first time before I was even a year old. But I don't remember that. I do remember getting drunk at 14. And I was with my stepmother, and she bought some beer, and we tied one on, and I apparently threw up all over everywhere and passed out, and my dad came home to that, and he was not pleased. Had a hangover from hell the next day, and even that did not stop me in the next 15, 20 years, however long it was. I couldn't honestly tell you. I could probably do the math, but that would take too much time. I would drink periodically, and when I did, it was always, always to get drunk. It was never to feel good. It was never to take the edge off. It was never like that. I drank to get drunk, and I did it very well. At the age of 20, I got married. At 21, I had my first son. My first son was born with congenital heart defects, and he had four surgeries the first 2 years of his life. And at the age of four, he developed a clotting disorder, and he had five strokes in 7 years and didn't make it through the last one. I was able to hold my son when the machines were turned off and hear his heartbeat on the monitor until it stopped. And to say I was heartbroken is an understatement. To say that I had a resentment against any form of higher power whatsoever is also an understatement. My only saving grace at that time was I was pregnant with my youngest child, and he was born 11 days later. And he saved my life, because I would have died. I couldn't tell you how, but it would have occurred. I have no doubt. Taking care of him kept me sane for about a year and a half, to a certain extent. Like I said, my life had been insane since the age of 5. I maintained. I didn't live. I just kept going because that's what I did. I couldn't really tell you why. We moved to Visalia 8 years ago, and I went back to work as a server in a restaurant that had a full bar and a very generous boss. I could drink as much as I want, and that's pretty much when I started drinking almost on a daily basis. I worked 5 days a week. Those 5 days I worked, I drank. Depending on what was going on the weekend, I'd usually drink then too. On July 28th of 2009, I hit my bottom. And it was very violent. I was in a complete total rage. My husband had come home from work, and I was drinking some wine, and he was not happy. So we got into a fight, and he was going to leave me. And I was bound and determined to do everything and anything that I could in my drunken rage to prevent him from going. I punched holes in my walls. We have a toy hauler, and he hooked up the toy hauler, or the truck to the toy hauler, because he was going to take it with him so he could have a place to stay. I stood in front of the truck for, I couldn't even tell you how long I stood in front of that truck trying to get him not to go. Got neighbors peeking out windows, and why the cops weren't called, I couldn't tell you, because they should have been. That didn't work, so I went and pulled all the fuses out of the trailer so he couldn't take it, which I succeeded because he did not take the trailer. I'll have to backtrack a little bit because he was in the process of gathering his clothes, and so I had the bright idea of throwing everything out the window. So I opened the window and threw all of his clothes out the window. Well, he decided that he was going to go outside and go get his clothes, and I was going to beat him to the punch, so I went out the window head first. And quite honestly, if he hadn't got there first, I would have fell and cracked my head open. And, that pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization that they talk about in the book, yeah, I've been there. The only thing that caused me to mellow out and to get out of that rage is we were in the driveway, and my mother was living with us at the time, and she's my drinking buddy, and we had already been drinking for a while, and she yelled at us out the door and locked us out of the house. Well, that really, really, really pissed me off. So I guess there's a sense of humor in this, because apparently there was a reason why I went out the window, because that's how I got back in the house, is I crawled back through the window. And in the process of climbing back through the window, I got glimpses of what I had done and what I was doing. And it was ugly, and it was violent, and I didn't want to be that person. I hated myself. I couldn't have told you what the word self-esteem and self-love was, because I didn't have those things. I didn't know what those things meant. My husband left. I had made a decision at that point that I was going to get help. And I called my cousin, and I asked her to come and get my young son, who, by the way, witnessed all of this chaos at the age of 9. And he was afraid and scared, because his dad had told him that he was leaving, but that his dad and mom still loved him. And so at that point, I got the phone book out and I started looking up recovery homes, and I called my cousin, asked her to come and get my son, because I was going to do something. I hadn't set anything yet as to what it was I was going to do, but I knew I had to do something, that I couldn't go on like that. I could not live like that anymore, because it wasn't living. And I called my husband, and I told him what I had planned, and that I didn't know if I went into an inpatient place, how long I'd be gone, so he might have to take care, you know, he'd have to take care of our son while I was gone, while I was doing whatever it is I had to do. And amazingly enough, he came back, and we talked, and I stayed up all night, and it got to a reasonable hour in the morning, and I made a phone call. I called my dad. My dad had some sobriety. He had got sober when I was about 20 years old and had been in the program for quite a few years. And I asked him for help. And he told me I had 3 options that I could do. I could go into recovery, I could contact the church and ask for their help, or I could do what he did and I could go to AA. And I told him that I think that I would like to go to AA. He told me to find the next meeting available and to go to it, and don't drink. And I did. It was on a Wednesday. I went to the noon meeting at the Alano Club. A little bit of a culture shock walking into the doors the first time. But I'll tell you right now, those people that shared that day, their words were a reflection of my life. I knew what they were talking about. I had felt those things. I had done those things. And I knew that I was in the right place. On my third meeting, it was again at the Alano Club, and there was a gentleman that got up and spoke, and he talked about the big book. And I didn't know what that was. But he said a line out of that book, verbatim, and it is, "We have found much of heaven, and we have been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence of which we had not even dreamed." That line impacted me so much that I got a big book the next day, because I wanted to find out what else it said. I continued to go to meetings. I went every day for a few weeks. Everybody kept saying, get a sponsor. I got one. and she's very much into service, and I love that about her. It put me in service. Her inspiration of service put me in service, and I have volunteered to be a greeter. I have secretaried meetings. I have been involved with GSR and H&I. I was fortunate enough to attend the pre-conference assembly in Mount Shasta, and that's a spiritual experience that I would recommend to anybody. And you don't have to be a GSR representative or a DCM or anything else to go to those. Members of at large are welcome. And it was the most amazing experience that I've had. On June 10th of this year, AA celebrated 75 years. And that just amazes me. It amazes me. And the one thing that kept running through my head was that it was there when my dad came in. And he was in it long enough for me to become a member of this fellowship. My sponsor has walked me through the steps, and there were times when I was afraid. The fourth step, taking a moral inventory, yeah, I was not looking forward to that one, but I did it. And I'll tell you what happened. A weight was lifted off of me. I felt free. For the first time in my life, I felt free. Now, there was a phrase that I heard a lot when I first got into the program, and that was living life on life's terms. And I had a real issue with that. And my life, living life on life's terms, that's what I was escaping from. That is not something that I wanted to do. I drank to escape life. Because life on life's terms, to me, was evil and cruel. I've had several milestones in the last year that I'd like to share with you. I have celebrated every holiday sober, and I remember them. That's a unique experience. I am a big-time football fan. I love the 49ers, and a few of us in here I can see. I went to the home opening game in September, which we won, by the way, and I remembered it. I remembered us winning that game. I was able to tailgate with our friends and not have a drink. Now, let me tell you this. This happened in September, and I made sure that I took all of my lists of phone numbers with me, and I used them. I checked in with my sponsor every day while I was gone. And another milestone for me is January 6th. It's the day of my oldest son's birthday. He would have turned 21 if he had lived. That was an occasion for me to get completely plowed. And I've done that every year since his death until this year. I was able to celebrate his life and not mourn his death on that day. Thank you. He died on April 21st, and I was able to survive that day without taking a drink. And I was surrounded by my brothers and sisters in this fellowship that called me, checked up on me, made sure that I didn't take a drink. I got reminders from several. There's actually one here in the room right now. And The only thing that I can say is that I am truly, truly, truly blessed in this program. I have been taught how to love myself, how to respect myself, how to contribute, how to be of service, and this last week has been incredibly amazing, and it's really, really hard for me to express the gratitude that I feel in my heart to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I got into the program, I got into service early, and I fell in love. I fell in love with the program, and I fell in love with my brothers and sisters in the program. You guys are my family. And I was able to celebrate my first year of sobriety. And it's amazing to me. And luckily, my last drunk is still pretty fresh in my memory. I can still remember the ugliness of it. But I don't have to live like that anymore. I can live life on life's terms, even when I don't necessarily agree with the way it's turning out. There are other things that I've been taught in this program. Cleaning out my side of the street, step 8, is making the list, and step 9 is actually making those amends. And the feeling that you get from making an amends to somebody that you've hurt is very wondrous. It's a wondrous feeling. Bill W. talks about his spiritual experience, and he saw the white lights and the wind blew and all that stuff. Mine have been little things. Mine have been when my 9-year-old son, when I was about 2 weeks older, sober, asked me if I was going to go to my anger meeting. And I told him yes, and he told me I should learn how to count to 10. Out of the mouths of babes. Children call it like they see it. They have no illusions as to what it's all about. My family has quite a few alcoholics in it. My sister is an alcoholic and is still participating. And my mother is, though she won't admit it. She thinks she can take a drink every now and then and she's okay. Which, if she can do that, more power to her. Several months ago, we were having a conversation about my sister. And, I had this inspirational idea, and I honestly don't think it came from my head, because my head don't work that way. It tries to screw it all up, basically. I suggested that she read the Big Book, that it might help her understand me a little bit better and might help her understand my sister a little bit better. And I actually had an extra copy of the Big Book, and she actually took it home, and she's actually been reading it, which is completely amazing to me. If you don't believe in a higher power, boy, with that right there, I sure do, because that's just amazing to me. And there was a 75th anniversary meeting that took place on June 10th. That I invited my mother to, and she went, and that was really cool. I have had some amazing conversations with my dad in the last year, and Those are very, very special moments in my life. A lot of the things that I lived through in my life that I drank over were the same things that he lived through in his life and he drank over. So it's a very special connection that we have to each other, and he's been a big part, a very big part of my sobriety. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank him for that. I love you. Now, I'm not going to whip out the big book again, but I am going to make a suggestion. There's some very good information on pages 83 through 88, and there's promises in there. And those promises do come true. It has happened to my brothers and my sisters in this program, and they have shared those experiences with me. And it has happened in my own life. So if you're new to this program, please stick around long enough. Get you a big book. Get you a sponsor. Go through those steps. Believe me, I know that there's going to be times where you're going to not want to. Because there were times when I didn't want to. But the benefits and the gifts that you'll receive from doing so are going to amaze you, and you will understand what rocketed to the fourth dimension means. And I think I talked too fast, so there's like 13 minutes still left. So now I got to fill in. That means that Bill's going to have people ask questions. So does anybody have any questions that they'd like to ask?
Yes, Holly, I'm curious, thank you. I remember, I don't know how day it was, you were new and you were in a few days, but it sounds like from your story, you found a similarity right off the bat, and you want to go through the differences. And but my real question is, you had all that rage and all that anger and no higher power. What is that higher power?
That's a very good question. I honestly have to say that I always had a higher power, that I always believed that there was something out there that was greater than me, but I didn't have any faith that that higher power could fix me. I was broken. I was very, very broken when I came into this program. I found my higher power because A told me that I would. And I think the first time that I actually got a clue what that was really about is I was at my second meeting and I got called on. And I went up there and I introduced myself and they picked the topic, and honestly I think it was service or something. Oddly enough, it was service. And I didn't know what they were talking about, of course, you know, being like still foggy and jittery and scared half to death. And I took my first step in that meeting. I got up and admitted that I was an alcoholic and that my life was unmanageable. And I think right there I knew that there was something in my life that was guiding me and helping me. And so, and you're right, I did listen to the similarities, and I think that's what really helped a lot for me, because I could see myself in the pages that I read in the book, and I could see my life in the words that were spoken in the meetings that I went to, and I knew that I wasn't alone. And another thing that happened when I got up that second day is that after I said what I said and that I had all of a little over 24 hours of sobriety, after the meeting, I was engulfed in love. And if that's not a higher power at work, I don't know what is, because I felt enveloped in love. Are there any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Appreciate that. Any other questions?
Can you tell us about the prayer and meditation that you do?
I have a meditation buddy that I contact with, and we get together in the mornings when I'm on my way to work, and we go over either a passage in the daily reflections, or the as Bill sees it. I mean, there are all kinds of books that you can get that have amazing things in them that will teach you. The one thing that I always want to remain is teachable in this program. As long as I stay in that frame of mind, I won't get big shotism. And that's in the book too, by the way. And the Serenity Prayer, I don't know how many times that thing saved me out of very, very baffling and situations. I mean, that thing can be said like that, and it's amazing what it'll do, you know, once you say it. Because for me, you know, my brain can get pretty twisted around things really quickly. And so when I feel that way, I know that I can say that prayer, and that also prevents me from reacting immediately by doing that, because that's usually not a good thing. My first reaction is not the correct reaction, I can tell you that. But while we were sitting back here and, you know, public speaking is not one of my favorite things to do. And I was very apprehensive, and I kept saying the Serenity Prayer. And, you know, that took the edge off, but I needed a little bit more. And for whatever reason, the third step prayer popped into my head like that. So I whipped that one out. It's like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's really cool. I like it. So we said that one a couple of times in our head. And, you know, so, and here I am, talking to you. And, you know, I'm really amazed by that. I thought I was going to pass out. I'm not kidding. Bill called me on Monday and asked me if I needed anything. And he's like, you need horses or ponies or anything like that? And I'm like, no. And I just make sure you bring a pillow so if I pass out, you can lay my head on it. And I wasn't kidding. He laughed, but I wasn't kidding. And, you know, so, but, you know, I have to say that this last year, the worst time that I've had this last year has by far been a whole lot better than my best time when I was a drunk. When I was partaking of alcohol in this body, it was, even a good day was a bad day. And I wouldn't trade the last year and 6 days for any of those days before that. Not a single one. I've been incredibly blessed. The big book also talks about a pink cloud. I'm on it, and I've been on it, and I'm going to stay on it. And if I get knocked off, I'm going to get back on it again. Because I like it. I love it. I love my life. I am happy, and I am joyous, and I am free. And the program of recovery of Alcoholics Anonymous and my higher power gave this life to me. And I am extremely grateful for it. Thank you.